Hi, this is Bob Decker, volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, with this week's Listener Beware. Today I'll be reading articles from Reader's Digest, the Office of Inspector General, and the Federal Trade Commission. Many of us take prescription drugs for various conditions. You've probably noticed that capsules or pills are often different colors. Our first article from Reader's Digest explains why this is so and what these colors might tell you. From Reader's Digest, What the Colors Your Prescription Pills Are Trying to Tell You, by Charlotte Helton Anderson, published on July 30, 2025. Your pill's color might be doing more than you think. Recently, a Reddit user made an interesting discovery. The cheeky decorative pillow on their couch, shaped like a blue and cream capsule and the words chill pill on it, exactly matched a real-life medication. An antipsychotic, i.e. a real-life chill pill. Besides being a hilarious coincidence, and probably a missed licensing opportunity, it got a lot of us to wondering about the colors of medications we take. I personally take a daily antidepressant that is a color I can only describe as a cross between a burnt sienna Crayola crayon and wet cat food. Felt a little ripped off, not gonna lie. Why does her pill get the fun aesthetic and mine looks like something scraped off a boot? And why aren't all medications just plain white? Why are prescription pills colorful? Just like there's a real reason why pill bottles are orange, it turns out that color is a surprisingly useful and important tool when it comes to our medications. There are a number of reasons that prescription pills are colorful, says Talia Wall, PharmD, a pharmacist and assistant professor at Touro College of Pharmacy. We asked Wall, along with pharmacist Thomas So, PharmD, senior manager at Consumer Drug Information Group at First Data Bank, and Andrew Bruckner, PharmD, director of pharmacy at Mount Auburn Hospital, to share all the reasons, practical, psychological, and occasionally petty, for why pills are so colorful. Read on to find out what those colors are trying to tell you. So why are prescription pills colorful? Colorful pills are probably more fun to take, depending on what condition you're treating, but it goes way beyond aesthetics. There are some really smart and important reasons pills are colored the way that they are. And it's important that you know the reasons, because it can impact how you take your medications. Here are the top reasons meds are so colorful. To help you and your pharmacist tell them apart. Color is a quick visual clue to distinguish medications that may otherwise look nearly identical. Color helps both patients and healthcare professionals quickly distinguish between different medications, So says. This is especially helpful for people managing multiple prescriptions or anyone who's had that, did I already take my meds or not, moment. Color, along with shape and imprint, gives pharmacists a way to verify that you're getting exactly what was prescribed, and not, say, your dog's flea medicine. To keep you from taking the wrong dose. Ever had to use two doses of the same drug? Then you know how handy color can be. The manufacturer will sometimes use different colors to make it easier to identify the correct strength, So explains. This can be life-saving when it comes to meds with serious side effects from even small dosing errors. To improve medication adherence. Sometimes it's not about getting the right pill, but remembering to take it at all. Patients are more connected to colored pills and may be more likely to adhere to a medication regimen if they build associations between certain colored pills and certain times of the day, Wall says. Think green pill, calm, bedtime, and yellow pill, sunshine, morning, and you get the idea. To protect the medicine itself. Some colors serve more than vibes. They have a functional purpose. Some meds are photosensitive, meaning that they can break down when exposed to light. Certain colors and coatings can help protect light-sensitive medications from degrading, So says. So manufacturers use colorants like titanium dioxide or iron oxides, basically SPF for your meds, to block out harmful rays. One example, doxycycline, a commonly prescribed antibiotic, is coated with a yellow or brown-colored film that blocks out light, helping the pill stay safe and effective longer. So adds that these coatings can also control how fast a pill dissolves and help prevent stomach irritation. So that shiny blue coating is basically armor. To make meds more appealing. Taste? Not always negotiable. Color? Absolutely. Pediatric medicines may use bright colors to make a medicine more attractive to children and reduce apprehension, so says. That bubblegum pink amoxicillin wasn't just a fever dream, it was a calculated choice. And this works on adults too. Color can influence how effective people believe a medication is. That is, blue is calming, red is energizing, yellow is uplifting, etc. To help with branding and marketing. Some medication colors are so iconic that they've become the name of the color. Think Viagra Blue and Pepto-Bismol Pink. This is not a coincidence. The color builds customer loyalty, just like logos or jingles. Patients are more likely to trust and support a product if they recognize and feel comfortable with the branding, Wall says. Have prescription pills always been this colorful? No, in fact, adding color is a fairly recent innovation. Historically, medications were often dispensed as powders, liquids, or hand-compounded tablets with minimal attention to color, Bruckner says. Color first showed up in the 1930s and 40s, when pharmaceutical companies began using dyes and flavors to mask bad tastes and ugly colors, protect sensitive ingredients, and market their products. They didn't become widespread until the 1960s, with the development of softgel capsules and improved coatings. Also in 1960, the FDA began regulating which dyes could be used in medications and foods and cosmetics under the color additive amendments. Because oops poison was no longer acceptable as a marketing strategy, fun fact, arsenic-based color pigments were popular in the 19th century for everything from wallpaper and textiles to, shockingly, food flavorings and patent medicines. Ever wonder how pills are colored? The film coating process starts by tumbling the tablets in a giant pan or fluid bed while spraying them with a fine mist of colorful coating solution. The pills get evenly coated while being gently dried. They're then left to cool off before packaging. Honestly, it sounds like they have a better skin routine than I do. What are the colors of your prescription pills trying to tell you? Those pill colors are trying to communicate some important things to you and prevent potentially serious mistakes. The color can help you recognize your meds, know when and how to take them, and even play subtle mind games. Colored pills help patients visually differentiate between multiple medications, reducing the risk of medication errors, like taking the wrong pill or double dosing, Bruckner says. Color can also help you form habits around taking your meds. The color of the medication can help a patient remember which pill to take and when, so says. And consistent color matters. If your pill suddenly changes appearance, it can actually make you more likely to skip doses or stop taking the med entirely, according to a study published in the JAMA Internal Medicine. Which is also why it's a good idea to double-check with your pharmacist if your refill suddenly looks different. And finally, color has a psychological effect too. Yellow is frequently associated with antidepressants due to an uplifting and cheery connotation, while green is linked to calming and tranquilizing effects, Doe says. So is my antidepressant trying to make me more depressed? In reality, the dreary color probably has less to do with my mood and more to do with the fact that I'm taking a generic version of the medication, which means it's less likely to have a carefully chosen, brand-specific color. Do different classes of meds have assigned colors? Contrary to what your chaotic medicine drawer may suggest, there's no universal color coding system. There's no standardized color for a particular class of drugs, Wall says. The color, shape, size, or imprint usually has nothing to do with how the drug works. You might associate pink with antibiotics or yellow with antidepressants, but that's usually the result of branding choices or just coincidence. In fact, the same drug can come in wildly different colors depending on the brand or even the pharmacy. Nowadays, you can have 5 different manufacturers producing a generic version of the same drug, and they can all look different, Wall says. This is actually on purpose. Generic drug manufacturers are legally required to make their pills look different from the brand name versions to avoid trademark infringement, Sol explains. So, if your new refill looks different, don't panic. But do ask your pharmacist to confirm it's still the right med. How can you use pill color to your advantage? Whether you're managing 5 prescriptions or just trying to remember which vitamin doesn't give you weird dreams, here are a few pharmacist-approved ways to make pill color work for you. Match it to your routine. Think of a color association that works for you, like taking the blue one at night and the orange one with breakfast. Boom, built-in reminders. Spot check your meds. If one pill in your organizer is a different color than usual, double check before taking it. Track your doses. Not sure if you took your medication already? Seeing an empty slot where the red one usually goes might jog your memory. But don't rely on color alone. Always read the label and use a pill organizer. Pill doppelgangers are real. Note, if you're colorblind or having difficulty distinguishing pills visually, talk to your pharmacist about using a labeled pill organizer or apps that help identify medications by imprint and shape. And hey, maybe check out the pillow section of your home goods store to see if you can match your drugs to your decor. It worked for at least one person. About the experts. Talia Wall, PharmD, is an assistant professor at Touro College of Pharmacy. Her research focuses on pharmaceutical safety, regulations, and public health education. Thomas So, PharmD, is the senior manager of the Consumer Drug Information Group at First Data Bank, which provides drug knowledge to healthcare professionals. And Ender Bruckner, PharmD, is the director of pharmacy at Mount Auburn Hospital in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where he oversees medication safety and pharmacy operations. In order to prevent fraud, banks may offer certain services only to their depositors or account holders. As a result, scammers are approaching individuals directly, as money mules, to transfer proceeds from other scams or financial crimes into the banking system. Our next article is from the Office of the Inspector General, or OIG, describe the process in general, and then provide an example of the scam being perpetrated on the elderly. From the Office of the Inspector General, Public Service Alert, Money Mules. The FDIC, OIG, is warning the public about criminals using money mules to commit and facilitate fraud and other illicit activity through the United States financial system. Money mules can be criminally prosecuted and held financially accountable for victims' losses. Avoid becoming a money mule. What is a money mule? Criminal organizations routinely use money mules to move proceeds of fraud, scams, and other illicit activity through the U.S. financial system. A money mule is any person who transfers or receives funds at the direction of another, knowing, or being unaware, that the money is tied to criminal activity. This includes individuals moving funds electronically as well as couriers sent to pick up cash, precious metals, or other assets directly from victims of fraud schemes, a tactic increasingly used in scams targeting the elderly. Money mule networks enable billions of dollars in losses each year across the United States. The victims whose funds flow through the mule accounts are frequently older adults targeted through romance scams, pig butchering cryptocurrency scams, tech support fraud, and government or bank employee impersonation schemes, including the FDIC and FDIC OEG impersonation schemes. How it works. Fraudsters typically utilize money mules in multiple ways. Victim to mule transfers. Criminals convince victims, often elderly, college students, or financially vulnerable individuals, to send money under false pretenses. The funds are directed to mule accounts rather than directly to the criminals to obscure identities. In some schemes, criminals dispatch couriers to physically retrieve cash, gold, or other valuables from victims, sometimes posing as law enforcement or bank officials. Recruitment of mules. Criminals recruit money mules intentionally, wittingly, or through deception, unwitting. Recruitment commonly targets job seekers by offering convenient remote work opportunities, often as rebates or payment processors. Criminals often target students, those looking for work, those on dating websites, the elderly, and individuals experiencing financial hardship. But anyone can be approached to be a money mule. Once a mule receives the funds, or collects physical assets, the individual is instructed to withdraw cash, buy cryptocurrency, purchase gift cards, transfer funds through additional accounts, or send money overseas. These layering transactions conceal the illicit origin of the funds. Red flags. Common indicators of money mule activity, both for potential scam victims and for people being recruited, include being asked to use a personal bank account to receive or move money for someone you've never met in person. Job postings involving payment processing or funds transfer work, especially if they require using your own bank account or opening a bank account specifically for the funds transfer processing. Unsolicited messages from strangers, potential romantic partners, investment advisors, or purported government officials directing you to handle funds. Pressure to act quickly, secrecy about the reason for the transaction, or inconsistent explanations. Funds arriving from multiple unrelated individuals, often older adults, followed by rapid outgoing transfers. Requests to convert funds to cryptocurrency, gift cards, wire transfers, or cash withdrawals. Being told to hand over cash, gold, or other valuables to a courier sent to your home, especially when the caller claims to be a government or bank employee. What happens if you participate as a money mule? Prosecution for participating in illegal money movement activity. Personal liability for repaying victims' losses. Exposure of personal information that criminals may later use. Inaccessible bank accounts and potential long-term credit impacts. Protect yourself. Individuals can reduce their risk of becoming victims or unwitting participants in a money mule scheme by taking the following steps. Never use your personal bank account to receive funds for someone you do not know or trust. Legitimate employers do not require this type of activity. Be cautious of unsolicited job offers or online opportunities promising easy money, especially those requiring minimal skills or personal information. Verify the identity of anyone requesting financial help or investment activity. Scammers frequently impersonate government employees, bank employees, and law enforcement. Talk to family members, especially older relatives, about romance scams, cryptocurrency investment fraud, and government impersonation schemes. Review the available free and online FDIC Money Smart resources to learn how to avoid and report identity theft, frauds, and scams. Report suspicious activity immediately to your bank and to law enforcement. Early reporting helps limit financial loss and may prevent the use of your account in further criminal activity. If you believe you've been recruited as a money mule, stop all transactions at once. Do not send or return funds. contact your bank and report the incident to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center at ic3.gov. The FTC, reportfraud.ftc.gov, and the FDIC OIG hotline, fdic.gov/OIG-hotline. A money mule scam targeting the elderly. The FDIC OIG is alerting banks and consumers of money mule scams targeting the elderly and FDIC regulated and insured institutions. How it works. In this scheme, fraud perpetrators are printing false or fictitious United States savings bonds and recruiting elderly citizens from assisted living facilities and nursing homes to deposit and cash the bonds in their FDIC-insured accounts in exchange for payments. Once the funds become available, they're withdrawn before the checks are identified as forgeries, causing a loss to the bank and to the elderly account holders. Bad actors in these schemes have been captured on video at FDIC-insured banks and credit unions. One counterfeit United States savings bond scheme has resulted in a loss of $1.8 million. Red flags. Being approached by a stranger asking if you want to make money by cashing treasury bonds through your bank account in exchange for money. Being asked to keep bank transactions private from bank employees or family members. Strangers contacting elderly populations at assisted living facilities, nursing homes, and through social media. Protect yourself. Do not agree to cash savings bonds in your bank account. If you're asked to do so, contact law enforcement. Do not give anyone your bank account credentials or PIN. Do not meet strangers in person. Stop communication immediately if a stranger, friend, or love interest asks for assistance with financial transactions. If you've been a victim, stop all communications with the scammers immediately. Notify your bank to secure your account. Report the activity to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center and to the FDIC OIG hotline. And call the National Elder Fraud Hotline, 1-833-FRAUD-11, to report the scheme. Our airwaves and other media are filled with ads that offer services to lower credit card interest rates. How does one know whether the company's genuine or just a scam? Our next article from the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, provides some tips on how to spot debt relief scams. FTC, how to recognize scams to lower your credit card interest rates. Some scammy debt relief companies promise to get you a lower credit card interest rate, claiming they can save you thousands of dollars. But they don't have special connections to do that. These companies can't do anything for you that you can't do for yourself for free. Why your interest rate matters? Well, having a high interest rate on your credit card means you'll end up paying more for things you buy unless you pay your credit card bill off every month. It also might take you longer to pay off your credit card balance. While there are no guarantees, you might be able to lower your interest rate by calling the customer service number on the back of your credit card and asking the company for a lower rate. There aren't any shortcuts or special tricks to getting a lower rate. How scams to lower your interest rate work. You've probably gotten calls or messages from companies guaranteeing, for a fee, to get you a lower credit card interest rate and promising to save you thousands of dollars. These scammy debt relief companies will tell you just about anything to get your money and do little or nothing to actually help you. Scammers say they have special relationships with banks and credit unions. They don't. Scammers might say the lower interest rates they're promising are only available for a limited time. They say you need to act now. But they're just trying to rush you into a quick decision. Scammers guarantee you'll get your money back if they can't get you a lower rate. It's not true. Instead, you're likely to end up paying their fee, plus extra balance transfer and other fees they didn't tell you about. These companies can't do anything for you that you can't do for yourself for free. Also, by law, companies that sell debt relief services on the phone can't charge a fee before they settle or lower your debt. So how to protect yourself from credit card debt relief scams? Dishonest debt relief companies promise special tricks or shortcuts that don't really exist. Skip the scams and reach out to your credit card company directly for help. Here are ways to avoid a scam. Don't share your credit card, bank account, or social security numbers, or any other personal information, with anyone who calls you unexpectedly. Once a scammer has your information, they might use it to commit other fraud against you. Never pay up front. It's illegal for a debt relief company to charge you before they help you. That includes money for services to lower your credit card's interest rates. Hang up on robocalls. If you answer the phone and hear a recorded message from someone trying to sell you something, it's almost always an illegal robocall. It's also probably a scam. Hang up. Pressing numbers to speak to someone or remove you from the list will probably only lead to more robocalls. What to do if you paid a scammer? Scammers often ask you to pay in ways that make it tough to get your money back. No matter how you paid the scammer, the sooner you act, the better. Report fraud. If you spot a scam to lower your credit card interest rate or have information about a company or a scammer that called you, report it at reportfraud.ftc.gov. And if you didn't lose any money and you just want to report a call, report it at donotcall.gov. Well, that's about all the time that we have for this week. This has been Bob Decker, volunteer reader at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for listening. A reminder that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand. You can also take Sun Sounds with you on our stream, on demand, or on the Sun Sounds app on your smartphone or home device.